Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, we are midway through the election campaign now, and some people have described it as rather lacklustre, until last night, that is. But just how much did the leaders' debate on Upfront with Katie Hannan change the dial? Well, for more, we're joined by Jack Horgan-Jones, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Claire.
Did you feel that the dynamic of the campaign might have changed over the course of that programme last night? Did something shift?
I mean, a little bit. Ironically, given that it was a 10-leader debate and that the whole kind of raison d'etre of it was to make sure that every leader of a political party managed to have their stake on the national issues, it did seem that the airtime was dominated by the leaders of the three big parties. And we saw Micheál Martin, Simon Harris and Mary Lou McDonald almost certainly have more speaking time, and there were certain topics allocated to them around economic planning and so on, which I think didn't maybe get put to the entire panel. And that's just a function of the size of the panel, and I think it's also a function of where we are in the election campaign and in the election debate. As you say yourself, we've passed the halfway point, so I think that things will begin to narrow in focus once we have gotten through the last of the manifesto launches and this kind of staccato rhythm of policy launches that has dominated the first week and a half of the campaign, and move towards that kind of core question of who is going to lead the next government. Against that, it was a chance last night, notwithstanding that overall dynamic, for the leaders of the smaller parties to try and hang tough and land punches where they could and remain relevant and keep making contributions throughout the night, which they did, I think, with varying degrees of success.
Okay, and just looking at what we've been talking about up to now, like, a lot of attention has focused on the bickering between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, but we had that draw. That's how the positions were decided. It was purely by chance that Micheál Martin and Simon Harris were standing beside each other, but we saw them nearly tag-teaming, didn't we, at certain times. But it became very clear last night, maybe for the first time in this campaign, that it's Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael versus Sinn Féin.
It was remarkable, wasn't it? Like, such a quirk of circumstance, not only that they'd be standing next to each other, but also that they would be quite literally centre stage to Katie Hannan's right. And you're right, there has been this kind of almost tiresome sniping at each other for much of the campaign trail so far. And I think that there's been a political expediency underpinning that, because it's important that they distinguish each other from each other in the eyes of voters. And I think that certainly people may have been expecting to see something of that replicated on the stage last night, but it didn't happen. It didn't feature at all. I mean, I'm open to correction on this, but I can't remember Simon Harris or Micheál Martin taking a cut off each other at any stage during the debate. And the fact that they stood next to each other, they were dressed similarly, they were almost intoning their heads in a similar way at the same time, frowning across at Mary Lou McDonald. Micheál Martin seemed to be kind of smiling across at Simon Harris at times. So it did seem that if there's a detente or a kind of thaw underway in terms of relations between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, we saw that very much, I think, front and centre last night. And I think inevitably, and again, it's a function of the fact that they were standing next to each other, they did look like the two of them set up against Mary Lou McDonald. And I think that there is also, there's risks and there's benefits in that for them, because they are ultimately, whether it's spoken or unspoken, implicit or explicit, they are presenting themselves as something of a stability ticket. So that image of them together may go some way towards reaffirming that, the credibility of that ticket in the eyes of voters. But against that, they don't want to be seen to be ganging up on Sinn Féin and Mary Lou McDonald. Remember, the one of the underlying dynamics of the last general election was Sinn Féin being kept out by the mainstream, by the elites, and anything that allows that party to kind of replicate that narrative, I think, may help it in the week and a half to go.
I just want to ask you about Labour for a moment, because we've heard these reports that both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael would like to have Labour in if they need someone else and they get to that point when the votes are cast where they can form a coalition with help. The Labour Party, though, and Ivana Bacic making this interesting point that before she'll talk to any of the big boys, she wants a Green Left alliance. She was very clear on that.
She was, yeah, and she was very clear about positioning the Labour Party, I think, in the centre as a party, which I think she said is serious about delivering change, has significant policy differences with the three big parties. But underlying all that, I think, is the suggestion that you know, the Labour Party sees itself as a party of government. And you're right, she did say that she wants to talk to other parties, other groupings of the centre-left and the Green movement before going into government formation talks proper. Now, what's interesting is that the first person to float this idea wasn't actually Ivana Bacic or the Labour Party. This was floated, I think, you know, as much as 3 or 4 months ago by Roderick O'Gorman. So we can take it as read that he will have a kind of commonality with the Labour Party on that. So there'll be at least two parties of the kind of centre-left or green space talking to each other before the government formation talks get fully underway. The Social Democrats, who be traditionally seen as the other party in that space, they've been more lukewarm on this. And I thought it was interesting to note last night that Keane O'Callaghan, the deputy leader deputising for Holly Cairns, when he was asked about this, said that he was open to talk to all parties after the election. So not talking about that subset, but instead putting the emphasis on their openness to speaking to everyone once the votes are cast.
And we had Independent Ireland, Michael Collins, talking about implementing the whip if he got into power. You mentioned the Soc Dems, Keane O'Callaghan, deputising for Holly Cairns, and they said that they will talk to all parties as well about forming a government.
Yeah, this issue of the whip and Independent Ireland is an interesting one, because they think there is this abiding sense that, you know, there may be something kind of chaotic inherent in Independent Ireland. Michael Collins, the leader of that party, was at pains to emphasise that when it comes to programme for government matters, there will be a whip. But he made a distinction. He said that on moral issues, there will be no whip. Now, what exactly might be classed as a moral issue and what might not be is not exactly clear. I mean, obviously, you know, the question about reproductive rights is by and large settled business for now from a political point of view. Whether he means, you know, the right to die or something similar like that coming down the tracks, or whether this idea of moral issues might be something that's more flexible and expandable, depending on circumstance, remains to be seen.
Now, Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit, the general sense is that he intervened strongly as the debate went on into the second half. Fair to say?
Fair to say, yeah. I thought his body language was interesting. I mean, he stood there for nearly the entire debate with his arms crossed, his arms folded, looking very underwhelmed and sceptical about anything that nearly anyone was saying, and sticking very much to the knitting when it comes to People Before Profit, talking about ending 100 years of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael rule, because they always prioritise the interests of vulture funds and banks and big business, and characterising the cost of living crisis as something that has in fact been an opportunity for profiteering. I thought he really came into his own at one of the more kind of shouting and chaotic moments of the debate, which is around the question of the Occupied Territories Bill and trade with the Occupied Territories, which kind of cut loose, and he was to the fore in that, laying the charge at the door of the government parties that they've effectively stalled progress on this, and that, you know, that bill could have been passed had there been greater political investment in it earlier on in the term of the government.
I don't know, when you have 10 parties represented on the stage, whether you can come away from that and say that there was a clear winner, Jack, can you?
No, I don't think so. I think it's about not shipping any blows. I mean, if I had to pick one, I think maybe Micheál Martin would be more pleased than the others with the degree to which he kind of stuck to his talking points. He was early and often talking about the importance of policy, the European Union, industrial and economic policy. He seemed a little more relaxed than the others. And he put in a huge attack on Sinn Féin early doors. Now, it's of course worth mentioning that Sinn Féin and Mary Lou McDonald pushed back on that. But I think that maybe he slightly eclipsed the others of the big beast. But look, these things are all subjective. And I'm sure that others will have a view on the relative merits of other performances. But I think it's more about not shipping a blow and not demonstrably losing.
Okay. Jack, for until next time, thank you very much. Jack Horgan-Jones there from the Irish Times. We're joined in the studio by Una Kelly, our own reporter. And Una, we saw Sinn Féin criticised before and during the debate because they hadn't published their manifesto when they went in to have that debate last night on the programme. We are expecting to see it published in full this morning, though, aren't we?
Yes, we are, Claire. Just at around 11 a.m. in Smock Alley Theatre in Dublin. And as you were saying, Simon Harris in particular had kept jibing that not publishing the manifesto until after the debate, in his opinion, meant it couldn't properly be scrutinised. He talked about that before the debate, during the debate. Fine Gael are using clips on their Instagram, their social media, of that criticism as well. Micheál Martin had also chipped in saying that it was extraordinary the manifesto hadn't been published earlier. Sinn Féin, of course, had pointed out that they have published detailed proposals on issues like housing, immigration and childcare so far. But this today is the launch of their general election manifesto, the big set piece of today. And it includes a promise to spend 7 billion euros on a national retrofit plan, with 3/4 of that money being directed towards lower income households. And we understand that Sinn Féin will claim that the current government scheme to insulate homes is ineffective. They'll also outline a plan to reserve 2.5 billion euros for a renewable energy investment fund with a greater ownership role for the state. And on disability as well, Claire, we're hearing that the party will say that it will provide 3,000 new residential places that would end the practice where younger people with disabilities currently live in nursing homes that are designed for more for elderly people, and also that they're planning to double investment in respite services.
Okay, so that's the bits that you've managed to get hold of, but the manifesto is being published at 11 o'clock, so in a short while. The Social Democrats are still to launch their manifesto, Una. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, they are. So that'll also be happening around 11 this morning, also in Dublin, launched by Cian O'Callaghan, deputising again for Holly Cairns, the leader, just days away from giving birth to her first child. Social Democrats have focused there on delivering social and affordable homes. They say they want to aim for 145,000 within the next 5 years. Also end no-fault evictions and introduce a temporary rent freeze. They're also talking about free public transport for all children, for all those under 18. And Claire, we've already seen them outlining their 5 deal breakers for entering any new government, including things like a senior minister for disability. So they say their manifesto will outline more details on how this will be delivered.
Okay, Una, thank you very much for bringing us up to speed. Una Kelly there, our reporter. Coming up next, we'll have our debate on justice matters.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.